Right.
Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. On today's show, we've got a fabulous guest out of the Tanana Valley. Welcome to the show, Brad St. Pierre, the manager of the Tanana Valley Farmers Market. Good morning, Brad.
Morning. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm so good, and thank you so much for being here on the kind of a chaotic, busy morning for everyone, it sounds like, but I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me on Ag Matters this morning.
Does matter.
Yeah, it does, right? It's such a good title. Another opportunity for me to give props to Johanna Heron, who kind of gave me that idea, the name for that for the show. But anyway, so Brad, I'm going to, you'll be surprised by how quickly this half an hour goes by. So I want to kind of just jump right in. And I always like to start the show with some background information about my guest. So take a little time to tell us your connection to Alaska and then to Alaska agriculture. How'd you get here?
Yeah, sure. Well, as many Alaskans, I got brought here, actually. I met my wife in Washington. We're alumnus of the Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington.
Okay.
She was born and raised here in the Tanana Valley. And when we graduated, we decided with urging of hers, that we should check out farming in Alaska because it's a big need for young farmers. And long story short, we ended up working for Mike Emmers, who owns Rosie Creek Farm.
Right.
Came up to manage his farm in 2010. And so since then, we were intent on beginning our own production. And I've had the opportunity of finding space. And we have 5.5 acres of vegetables and 110 acres of hay. And the name of our farm is Goosefoot Farm. And we're just outside of Fairbanks. And in the process here in Fairbanks, we opened the first cooperative food market in Alaska. And I was able to be the initial produce manager there and get that show rolling for a year and a half. And then from there, I had the opportunity to manage the farmers market, and I've been here for, this is my fourth season, and the farmers market in Fairbanks is a vibrant and hopping place.
Yeah, so awesome.
That's kind of how I'm here and what I'm up to.
Very good. And so where are you from originally, Brad?
I'm a military brat.
Okay.
I'm all over the place. You know, my folks ended up in South Texas, but home is Fairbanks.
Okay. And your connection to agriculture outside of kind of marrying into it sounds like, or pursuing it in college, like did you grow up with farming in your family?
So my grandpa and my dad were corn and soy farmers in Indiana until my dad got drafted.
Okay.
And so I've kind of gone the other way, back to the land. I actually got a job working on an organic farm during college to help put me through college. So a lot of my experience is actually field experience as opposed to book knowledge.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I decided a long time ago that the answer to the food issue in our society is the decentralization of the food system. And to do that, we need a lot of smaller farms near city centers, and we need more farmers. I mean, just like around the country, in Alaska is an issue of the lack of young farmers around this country. The average age of farmers is 56 years old.
Right.
And what we see here in Fairbanks is that we really don't see a lot of that next generation of farmers starting up. The access to land issue and other things that face this generation that didn't the previous one. That's really what inspired us to start farming and to keep going, as it's not the easiest decision.
Right. You know, I myself, having grown up on a farm and then went to college to get an ag business degree, and I would meet people in my classes who didn't grow up on farms, but just kind of had this, passion for farming. And I would kind of look at them like, really? Like, to me, farming is something that you're either born into I mean, it's usually is something that you're born into. So it was really, it was kind of a change of pace for me to meet this whole group of people that, we're kind of making a choice to go to the farm versus just being born into it, which is a beautiful thing. We need a lot more people like that, right? So,
well, you know, yeah, and that family farm model of passing it on generation to generation is the one that's worked. And the reason is that those young people aren't having to start at zero every time.
Right.
And a beautiful program we have here in Alaska and in other states is Farmlink. And what
right.
the purpose is connecting young farmers with landowners, and that gives them the ability to not necessarily start at zero. I mean, we have a lot of land here in Alaska, but we don't necessarily have a lot of good ag land.
Absolutely.
So hooking up young farmers that are coming back into farming, if their families, you know, they're not coming necessarily from ag background, like, I think that's the real answer to jump some of the hurdles that are facing young farmers, lack of access to land and infrastructure and not having that family connection.
So, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, that model, anyway.
Yeah. No, I love it. You're a perfect advocate for so many of the things that we're focused on at Farmland Trust. So I appreciate that. But we better jump into some of the farmers market stuff, or we could go on just about this young farmer issues. But so let's start with some of the hot topic items about the Tanana Valley Farmers Market. I want to start by saying that it's like the oldest farmers market in the state, right?
Yes. I think it's 38 years now that we've been around. We are the only market in the state that owns its own building and own property.
Right.
And we, on a Saturday, will have upwards of 100 vendors. Our main parlance of the market is that everything at this market has to be Alaska-made or Alaska-grown. So it really keeps us true to our mission of supporting agriculture and horticulture industries and cottage industries in the Tanana Valley.
Absolutely. So, Brad, most of our listeners are down here in the South Central region, in the Palmer area. So for someone who has not been to the Tanana Valley Farmers Market before, describe the location or tell us when and where we can find you.
Sure. So the market's just down the road from the university on College Road, just next to the Woodway. And we have markets on Wednesdays from 11 to 4, Saturdays from 9 to 4, and Sundays 11 to 4. And the market has from kettle corn to kohlrabi. I mean, we have just about everything. We've got, I would say, the market is the most diverse place in the town or in the city. I mean, we have food from all over the world that's prepared, and we have crafts from people from all different backgrounds and artists from all different techniques. We have some long mainstays, farmers who've been here since day one, 38 years, and other ones that have just started. And yeah, it's a big blend of folks.
Yeah. What an incredible opportunity to celebrate that is. I mean, 38 years is a long time for a market, for the same market to be in existence. And I think that the successes that you've had, such that you mentioned that you own your own land, you own your own building, you have, you know, a paid employee. These are testaments to that the fact that the market really, really works. And I love the fact that you have some farmers and vendors that have been there from the very beginning. That's incredible.
You know, and this market, I mean, the reason it's here is because there was the desire from the farmers to have a space to sell. And they recognized that fact. And due to brute strength and passion, they've made this thing happen. And the asset for Fairbanks, I mean, this market last year sold over $1.45 million. Well, the vendors at the market did.
And if you think
a local, I know, isn't that amazing? And if you think a local dollar can be spent up to 16 times in your community before it leaves, like, the economic impact of this market in our town is just massive.
It's huge.
Yeah. So I think, you know, now the model that was put in place back when so that people could sell more carrots, I mean, it's really works for all sorts of small business. And yeah, I mean, I see it as a symbiosis, the farmers and the crafters and the food people and the musicians who come and play. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's incredible. There's so many questions are running through my head. But I want to remind folks that if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And this morning, my guest is Brad St. Pierre from the Tanana Valley Farmers Market from, is it Goosefoot Farm?
Yeah, in Goosefoot Farm.
Goosefoot Farm, yeah. And so hopefully we'll have time, Brad. I can ask you a couple more questions about your farm as well. But for now, more questions about the market. So you said last year, $1.45 million in sales took place at that market. That is just such an incredible an accomplishment in and of itself.
Yeah. You know, and it's in Alaska, the desire for markets is growing in the last 10 years. I'm sure that this has been mentioned, this is stat I hear a lot, that we've gone from 9 to 41 markets across the state.
Yeah.
And yeah, it takes people wanting this kind of business to succeed. And now there's a little more organization. The Alaska Farmers Market Association is coming together. And so, yeah. Farmers markets can be a really big positive thing for communities, for sure.
Yeah, small business incubator, no doubt, which is another thing that before I forget, I have to talk to you about that. When we were at the Farmers Market Association conference earlier this year, you mentioned how you guys at Tanana Valley Farmers Market actually have a situation where vendors can graduate out of the market.
Exactly.
Please tell the listeners about that, because I just love this story.
Yeah, so yeah, the real intention is to give people a place to start, and as you know, not necessarily farmers graduate from the market, though we have seen greenhouses, big greenhouses in town sprout from the farmers market, but we've had now quite a few vendors that start a business here and then move on, and so we've got this program that we've got going that we give a Tanana Valley Farmers Market alumnus plaque.
I love it.
The years they were here, and really hoping that the people that go and frequent their business see that that's where they started and that there's an opportunity for them if they have an idea to start a business and that the market's the place to start.
Yeah. Well, not to mention for consumers, I mean, there's nothing like being the first one to know about something. So if you want to be the first to know about the food scene or the production scene in Fairbanks, you need to go to the Tanana Valley Farmers Market,
it's
right?
The market. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. And I was just thinking also that prior to the Fairbanks Food Co-op, you know, becoming a brick and mortar facility where people could shop on a daily basis, before that existed, my perception would be that the Tanana Valley Farmers Market and the other couple of farmers markets that exist up there, that really was the only spot to go and get Fairbanks grown food, right?
Definitely. I mean, and the other markets in town are recent developments.
Right.
So the Tanana Valley Farmers Market was like the place. It created this fanaticism for carrots in the summertime here. People line up, you know, because they know this is it. I can get them here and I can get them now, and then that's it. I mean, and some of that's changed a little now that we have more Alaska-grown product showing up in grocery stores.
But yeah.
That fanaticism wanes. It doesn't wane. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, kudos to the producers that are selling to the major retail grocery store and spreading their food all across Alaska. We can't, we won't deny them the credit that is due. But I think it's really valuable to point out that for a long time, for a couple of decades, if you wanted Fairbanks grown food, you were either growing it yourself or you were going to the Tanana Valley Farmers Market to get it. And that's a really beautiful thing to celebrate. And again, to recognize that you're in your 38th season and it's still hopping, right? I mean, that it's
busier every year.
Yeah,
every year.
Yeah, and you said 100 vendors.
Yeah,
yeah.
On a Saturday, I mean, it's just we're just thick with people, and 100 vendors. And you know, our association actually has over 160 vendors. So if they were all to show up the same day, yeah, we could have as many as 160.
That is incredible.
I know, it's really exciting, and all these businesses that and you know. Only in a place like this do you get all these people that do it for themselves working together. So, that, you know, my philosophy is that everybody does better when everybody does better. And I think the majority of the vendors at this market see it the same way.
Absolutely. Because we're trying to make the pie bigger, not just make our own piece bigger, right? We're trying to make the whole pie bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yep.
So the local economy is big.
Yeah. So, Brad, if a listener... is super enticed now, and they want to come visit the Tanana Valley Farmers Market. If they want to get a little bit more taste for what they can find at the market, I assume you guys have a website that we could check out. And are the vendors listed on your website?
Yeah, we have a vendor page. Actually, a new website. It's really cool. We got some new pictures, and actually an online store for any of our products that you can find at the market. Not the vendors' products, but we have like. Tanana Valley Farmers Market swag on there.
Oh, very good.
So you can find a list of there, and there's a link to our Facebook page. So if you want to keep up with what's going on a day-to-day basis at the farmers market, you can follow us on Facebook, Tanana Valley Farmers Market. And we also have an Instagram page that gets photos posted about the daily day goings. And I think that's a really good way to figure out what's going on here. And we have what music's coming posted, and we have any special events going on. We'll have that on Facebook page as well.
Very good. What is the website, Brad?
It is www.tvfmarket.com.
Okay, Tanana Valley Farmers Market. So tvfmarket.com. Very good. And you officially are the market manager. And how often are you at the market?
I am here 40 hours a week. So I'm here days of market, and then I also have office days 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you're more than welcome if you have questions about becoming a vendor or visiting, give me a call at the office. The number here is 456 Farm.
I love it. 456 Farm. That's perfect. And so you mentioned music at the market and special events. So do you have entertainment at your market every market day, or just on Saturdays, or just on special days? What's your structure there?
Well, you know, we don't have a budget for entertainment, but we have so many talented artists here in Fairbanks that I would say 99% of the days there's music being played around the market.
And okay.
These are people that come and set up and just play their guitar or saxophone or have their group on. We have a picnic area with a stage and power, so people play there, but then also around. But every once in a while, like this last weekend, we had a marimba band from Homer come play at the market.
Oh, fun.
I know, it was super fun. And then last year, we actually had a petting zoo one weekend, and some aerial silk performers came. And yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole thing, the market feel and ambiance and atmosphere, music and stuff like that has a lot to do with it as well.
Absolutely. I remember talking with a market manager about a decade ago who was just starting their market, and they were, like you guys, they were very strict in that they only wanted to have Alaska grown or Alaskan made items at their farmer's market. And they were kind of adamant that they weren't going to have entertainment. And I said, I would really encourage you to have entertainment, because if people can come and be entertained for a little bit, the thing is if they stay longer, they'll spend more money.
You know, if dad has a place to sit down with the kids and have a bite to eat while mom gets the time to be alone for just a few minutes and shop around the market, I tell you what, it's probably really good for the market.
Right. It totally works. Well, it only took him a couple of seasons to figure out that having prepared food at the market was a huge win. And then having entertainment at the market, it was a must. And now that market in particular has, like you mentioned, a stage and a sound system, and they're encouraging as much music as possible. So yeah, it definitely works.
So great. Yeah. And, you know, to see little ones, we have like balloon artists and face painters and a glitter artist that comes, and yeah, just like good for the kids and people of all ages.
Yeah. Well, in addition to, like you mentioned, if the kids have something to do while mom can shop, that's a beautiful thing. But I also love the idea that the kids are getting exposed to a lot of Alaska-grown food. There's probably sampling happening at the market. Like, they get a completely different shopping experience than they would at a retail grocery store, and they really get that love and feel of community, right?
Totally. And we've actually, here at the farmers market, we work with the farm to school program, and teachers come and bring kids to the market on Wednesdays once school gets back going, and do scavenger hunts around the market.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so good. I mean, it's just a great space, not just for, you know, filling your basket with veggies, but also filling kids' heads with good stuff.
So. Absolutely. So yeah. That brings up one other question about timing, I guess. When, what is your season? When does the market open? And then when's your last market of the year?
Sure. Yeah. We open the weekend before Mother's Day in May, and then we'll be open till the third weekend of September every year.
Okay.
And every once in a while, depending on the weather, we'll go for this super bonus day at the end of September, which is always variable. The year before, we had 6 inches of snow on the blacktop, and people still came and set up. And
oh my gosh!
I know.
And I bet the consumers still came too, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah,
that's incredible. Well, one more time, I want to remind listeners that it is this edition of Ag Matters Radio, and I am talking to Brad St. Pierre, the market manager up in Tanana of the Tanana Valley Farmers Market. And Brad, for this kind of last 10-minute segment of the show, I would love to kind of switch gears and talk about your farm a little bit more. So let's switch into that. You mentioned you have vegetable production as well as hay production. So give me those numbers again in terms of acreage.
So yeah, we do 110 acres of hay, brome hay, and 5.5 acres of vegetables. And we do a diversified organic production of, we have in the past focused primarily on roots. The farm is starting to develop infrastructure, so we're not just growing carrots and turnips anymore. But
okay.
So now we sell here at the farmer's market, and we sell our vegetables to the school district and different restaurants around town. And this is our fifth year in production, my wife and I and our two little ones. And it's definitely a labor of love. This year has been a challenge like every other year, but it's, now as we get into this bountiful season, that all seems so distant, our spring. So yeah, Goosefoot Farm is it's been good.
Are you mentioned organic practices, are you certified organic, Brad?
We haven't gotten certified. We're actually in transition to get our certification.
Okay.
So yeah, it takes a little time and a lot of paperwork, but we see that in our near future.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's been something that I've tracked in Alaska. Of course, when I worked at the Division of Ag, we were kind of involved with the certification and assisting with getting the certifier up from Washington State. But it's always interesting to hear folks' perspective on whether they think it's worth it to go through the certification, because we have many growers that are actually using what we would call organic practices, but a lot fewer of them choose to go ahead and get the certification. So why do you, on your farm, why do you feel like that's a necessary step?
Well, I think it's something, as our farm grows and diversifies our market, I think as a direct-to-consumer seller, it has less value because a real value to the organic certification is the third party telling you can give that third party confidence to someone who doesn't necessarily have access to the farmer.
Right.
So, and that, like when we first began, we were merely a farmer's market seller. And so the value of being certified organic isn't necessarily as much, because when they come to buy your stuff, they can ask you.
Yeah. They can look you in the eyes and talk to you about it. Yeah.
So as we get, hopefully, continue to grow and diversify and sell to larger and larger, maybe a little bit more distant from the farmer's market venue, I think the organic certification has more value there.
Sure.
So, yeah, and, you know, in the end, just like any government program, there's drawbacks, there's positives and negatives, but, we want to see. I think it's definitely part of the growing of the farm's plan.
Yeah, very good. And your hay production, do you guys have livestock yourselves, or is that producing hay for other folks?
We produce hay merely for other folks. We don't even have a chicken right now at the farm. No, we have, but at this point we don't. And we sell the hay. We do it in 60-pound bales. Most of our hay goes to goat owners and horse owners, and all right here around in the Tanana Valley. And that's something we've added to the production. The farm got going 5 years ago with an Indiegogo campaign, which is a online fundraising, crowdsourcing website. And we found a farmer who had been haying for 30 years and had approached him about using some of his space to do the vegetables. And really it came down to, the deal was I could use the 5 acres for the vegetables if I picked up and did the hay. So
okay.
Now we're doing the hay, and it's definitely a learning experience as a young farmer to pick up a new type of agriculture.
Yeah, I bet. And hay is not the easiest thing. I mean, not that any form of agriculture is easy. That would not be fair to say, but hay can be such a difficult thing in Alaska.
Yeah, you know, farming in Alaska, it's its own animal for sure. But like nowhere else.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. You mentioned the Indiegogo campaign a couple of years ago. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit more? Because that's another kind of unique feature to your farm and a really great story.
Yeah, you know, so we had been farming, my wife and I. She had started in 2000 and I in 2002. and had gleaned a lot of experience farming, but one thing you don't get when you're working on farms is good pay. So
right.
We had gotten this far down the road and realized, oh, so we don't have the money, though we know how to run a farm and start a farm. We don't have any money to start a farm. So we came up with an alternative option instead of getting a bank to loan you money to get a farm going when you don't have a farm history is difficult. So we went to our community and we came up with a campaign. We named it How to Start a Farm at 40 Below. And we went to our community and were able to raise, we had a goal of $11,000. That's what we thought we needed for startup.
Okay.
And we surpassed the goal and hit that. And that, as naive as we were, that we were sure that was going to be enough to start a farm. So we opened the field, we built a fence, we dug ponds, we did everything, got to the point where seeds were in the ground, and, oh, we need operating funds, because that was just enough to get going. So actually, we were introduced to the Kiva Zip program, which is a microloan program that gives ag businesses around the world zero interest microloans.
Right.
And we were sponsored by Fairbanks Economic Development Office into that program, and were able to raise $10,000 with zero interest that we have since paid back.
Very good.
And so there was our seed money to start the farm, and it's been that start that's gotten us going this way, and we haven't gone necessarily the most conventional farm path, but it seems to be working.
Oh, that's incredible. I was so glad. I remember watching that kickoff, and it's been so fun to watch you guys be successful and continue to grow and grow your family. And it's really great to hear that it's still working out so well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are just about out of time. It's kind of crazy, but any kind of closing thoughts for listeners about either Tanana Valley Farmers Market or about Goosefoot Farm?
Well, I think just to remind everybody to buy local, this $5 for five Alaska Grown is focusing on this year. I think that's really big. Actually, I think if people could just focus on spending $5, it's so easy on locally grown things. We could really impact a lot of families around the state and a lot of farms around the state, and including mine. And anyway, so buy local.
Yeah.
So do it a lot and do it a lot.
Perfect. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have time for on today's show. We've been talking about the Tanana Valley Farmers Market and Goosefoot Farm up in Fairbanks. I want to thank my guest, Brad St. Pierre, for chatting with me this morning, and remind folks that Ag Matters is broadcast on Radio Free Palmer on Wednesday mornings from 7:30 to 8 a.m., and it rebroadcasts on Friday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. You can also listen to the stream at radiofreepalmer.org. And thanks again for joining me. This is been Amy Pettit with another edition of Ag Matters. Thanks so much, Brad.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.